The following podcast is scheduled for one fall. Hailing from the Pro Wrestling Tees headquarters in Chicago, Illinois, he is your host of the PWT cast, Scrump!
Bang, bang, what is up, you guys? Welcome to episode 231 of the PWT cast. My name is Scrump.
My name is Drew.
This is the official podcast of Pro Wrestling Tees. We're bringing this podcast right here on this feed for free every Monday. If you already aren't, make sure you're following us over on social media. We're at PWTcast on Instagram and Twitter, as well as patreon.com/PWTcast. Last week was a fun week. We had the moon landing episode with myself and Steve Feast, as well as myself and Rachel talking Coraline, the Henry Selick stop motion film. And this week, it's another fun week, dude. I'm bringing in John Cena of Post Wrestling. He and I, we had a lengthy chat. Not as long as myself and Bruce Lord, but it was still a pretty lengthy chat talking the Lego movie. You know, he, of course, works at the Lego store over in New York. So it was only appropriate that I bring him on. And yeah, again, one of those movies that he and I, we delve into it where... he and I both were sort of just like, what the fuck is this bullshit? A Lego movie? And then you watch it and it's like one of the most endearing fucking movies where it's like
such a good movie. Yeah.
It's, and again, so a very fun review. Again, if you guys want to sign up, it's as low as $5, you know, $5 a month gets you over 100 fucking movie reviews. And again, I've been having so much fun just bulk recording some episodes. Listen, I am getting into fucking August far as some of these goes. Like, that's how far out. Like, I literally just secured the first two episodes for August. Like, that's how far out I'm going. Damn. Yeah, to the point where I was like, well, I need to slow. Like, all right, I was like, I'll probably slow down there. It's always good to have some, you know, sort of pre-recorded. I am excited, though, not for this week's, but next week's episode. I'm supposed to record it. So it'll be one. It's an episode that I've been dying to just do, you know, in general. And I don't normally preview them, but this is how excited I am for them. I often mention my godfather, Jesus.
Shout out, Jesus.
And how his family is like my family, how close I am to his actual family, you know. Like, I think I saw a cousin of mine yesterday at the mall after when we were like at the Shake Shack, but I didn't even remember her name, so I didn't even say anything. You know, it was just like, that's how that, as opposed to if I saw any of like Jesus' family, I would drop my burger, get up, you know, say hi and everything like that. And I've mentioned her plenty of times with my cousin Sylvia. You know, she's the one who used to get me into Universal when she worked over there. And she is coming on to, again, tentatively scheduled, unless she is, you know, she's very much busy. She works with film. She'll talk about all that, you know. But she's tentatively scheduled to come on, and we're going to talk Pokemon the first movie, which, again, it's not that great of a movie per se, but it is just one of those. When we were all kids, my sister Sylvia and then her sister, dude, we like that back when they used to make movie soundtracks with songs for the movie. Fuck. Like, we played that thing over like every family party because they lived in this like triplex, I guess it is. You know, it was like the whole building. And the parties were usually either on the second floor in the back, and they lived on the top of the first floor. This is essentially a free preview. So I'm going to retell this story. but like the amount of times we'd all just fucking sneak off, go upstairs, and God, it just belt our little hearts out singing all those fucking songs on that, you know, soundtrack. And yeah, like she works in film. She went to, when all I wanted to do was go to Full Sail University, like she was, you know, she gave me a tour of the facility and everything. So, and there's so many movies where I'm like, we need to talk this, we need to talk that. But of course, the first one is going to be Pokemon, the first movie. And so, I'm excited that next week, you know, she's gonna come record this with me.
I gotta say too, your Coraline review. So it's a movie I've not watched, and like you guys made, like, I was like the whole Neil Gaiman thing. I was like, oh, okay. And I think it's just the, you know, it was always touted as, you know, from whatever of you know, Nightmare Before Christmas and all that. And I just assumed that it was a Tim Burton thing. So I was like, I don't want any part of that. But yeah, it's, you know, I got to check it out. It sounds like a good movie. Again, you guys talked a long time before getting into the movie review. Like, I swear it was like an hour and a half. And then you like last 15 minutes, like, well, let's get into the review.
Oh man, you're going to love, a future episode with myself and Andy then.
Oh, it's always funny to me that like, it's kind of the way it's almost like a, you know, if you had a drinking game, like it's if you know, it would be like if they finally start talking about the synopsis an hour into the show, because it happens so frequently.
Boy, you are going to love Friday's episode. That.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But hey, and also if you guys didn't, unexpectedly, I guess. Well, no, one of them was expected. Last week, I was invited over to Poison Run, or you know, our friends of the show, Braden Harrington and Davey Portman. Davey wasn't there, but again, I always, whenever he's not there, I make sure to, you know, shout him out with my ahoy hoy. but he, Braden Harrington, again, of Poison Run, I believe he was like the second, maybe third person on this podcast. Like, that's how far, you know, we go way back.
Yeah.
He and I joined up for the 25th anniversary of The Mummy. And that was a lot of fun. And then that same day I got the old Marvel signal in the sky from WH Park and Rich Fan, and I joined them to talk about the latest episode, the penultimate episode, I believe it was episode 7 of X-Men 97, and just a really fun fucking review with those guys. Again, always fun. So I was, you know, all over the place. And so, yeah, check those out. Again, Post Wrestling, Poison Rana. Fuck, there was something else I was going to plug.
Man, I just realized something that, you know, it's probably a good thing you're bulk recording, because, you know, the last couple summers haven't been great for old Scrump.
Listen, baby.
It's like, hey, look, I just get them in the bag just in case.
I mean, it's good to record episodes, yeah, in case you fucking, you know. But listen, I've been fucking fine. You know, this fucking...
Not till September.
Not till September, baby. Yeah, it's, you know, it's... No. This is a summer of Scrump. But hey, yeah, if you you know, if you do want to hear some more of myself and Drew, Thursdays we drop our episodes of Scrump and Drew's Music Box, our music. See, it's so weird saying music review show. It's just our music listening show. Honestly, like, we just fucking listen to some songs. We're not trying to convince you of, you know, you should listen to these. Like, it's just, hey, come on by, hang out, listen to some songs. You don't got to do anything else but just fucking sit back and relax. And this week,
honestly, it's more story time with, like, you know, Scrump and Drew. It's just, oh, here's this song, and then let me tell you about the time I heard this at this one time, you know,
yeah,
or whatever.
Yeah, it's funny, because there was a while where you were sort of doing like the Instagram series, you know, with people from your past, and I've done something similar before, in that I had my buddy Luis Medina on. This was years ago, and we started to, I mean, even honestly, like the one episode I did with Vivian and our friends Hondra and Diana, where it's just like, let's just fucking chit chat. And yeah, like, that's always something that I say to myself. Like, I've been telling myself I want to get like certain friends of mine, because obviously they don't, you know, like, some friends is like, yeah, let's just talk about the bullshit we got up to when we were kids, as opposed to like, do you want to come fucking review a movie with me?
But
if you want to join us, yeah, for some story time this week, again, this Thursday, volume 38 will drop, where we talk Crisscross, Queen, Young Miko, Cigarettes After Sex, Enter Shikari, Silk Sonic, Chuck Berry, Maylene, and the Sons of Disaster, and plenty of more. A really fun episode of that. And where I learned the difference that Silk Sonic is two people.
Yes.
Not like, I thought it was like Bruno Mars and Silk Sonic. Nah.
No.
It's two people. So yeah, all that plugging and stuff out of the way. Drew, happy Mother's Day to
Happy Mother's Day.
Your mother. You know?
Yes.
She
same to yours.
Yeah, I'll tell her. I just told Well, your pick for one of the worst mothers, which I vehemently disagree with. She's one of the best. Old Terry Allen. I told her, I was like, hey, I may be up there soon. I was like, so happy Mother's Day. But yeah, happy Mother's Day to any mothers listening right now, to anyone with a mom, even anyone without a mom. You know, it's one of those things where like Friday was Mexican Mother's Day.
Oh, I know.
Yeah. But I just it was one of those, I just forgot. Like some people were posting and I'm just like, what the, I'm like, oh, okay. And like my one friend, I was just like, hey, happy Mexican Mother's Day. And she was like, I'm Puerto Rican. I was like, yeah, but your kids are half Mexican. So, you know, it's like, you're married to a Mexican man. So that fucking counts. But, yeah. I assume any of your Mother's Day festivities would have been on Mexican Mother's Day.
Dropping her off at the airport this morning.
Well, no, I assume she was here for Mexican Mother's Day.
She was. Yes. Yeah. May 10th. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, it was it was a good day actually, because I ended up taking off work and my brother took off work, so we all got to spend the day together. So that was pretty fun. We went and toured a local staple in the Ringling Museum and his house and everything like that, which is, I mean, it's an awesome place. That's if you ever get to the Sarasota area, I do recommend, especially if you have any like interest in old circus lore and all that kind of stuff, which I've always found fascinating, because when I was like, you know, I was right at that right age of like 1920 when Carnival came out, and it just like got me like hooked on old timey circus stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And like, so I love it. So it's just to see like the real life versions of that kind of stuff is really cool. And yeah, this dude was just like this crazy ass millionaire who...
That's always the one thing to me that fucking is wild, where they're like, he was the richest man in the world. Mm-hmm. Like you say, he was a billionaire. This was literally the richest man in the world at one point.
Yeah.
Oh, fucking.
Yeah. And like, yeah. And he was like, to the point, like they built this incredible mansion, and right next to it is this big ass building that he built, which is now the Museum of Art, that he's like, he just collected art pieces like all over the world. Like it's, and it's just here and there. It's like one of the biggest, like there's like some people say that like, even if like it were in New York right now, it'd be the best art museum in New York. Like that's how like some of these pieces are. I don't know anything about art. I know that some of that shit's really cool, but like if you walked in there back, like, oh, this is the piece de la resistance or whatever they call it. Like this is the one that like this whole thing is built around. I'm like, I would have walked right by it. But to me, like the circus museum, like they have like the old train cars and things like that. And they have this basically like it's about the length of they say it's like the length of a football field. I don't remember walking that much, but it's like a scaled down version of like, let's say the people are maybe like 4 inches tall,
mm-hmm.
and it's of what the circus was like, way back when. Like it's just like, it's incredible to see like in real life that this guy had in his retirement just started carving this old ass circus thing. And it's now there, like it's to what it used to look like way back when the circus was in its heyday. So
I'm going to add that to the list of stuff that, I want to go see when I go down there. That sounds pretty, like, it's, again, it's just sort of passing, like, stories and stuff I've heard of, you know, of, what is it, fucking Ringling, Barnum, and Bailey, or whatever?
Yeah.
Was he Barnum or Bailey?
No, this was Ringling, just as Ringling. One of the Ringling brothers.
Okay. So yeah. Was it Barnum or Bailey?
P.T. Barnum was he was like, you know, that's the one they always compare Vince to. He was like the original, like the one that really took it to the next step, and then the Ringling Brothers came in, made it into more of a, you know, of a touring, and then they bought, you know, Barnum and Bailey. So then, like in like the early 1900s, it became Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey present the circus or whatever, and then in like the 50s they got bought out because, you know, the circus is once TV came in, people were like, yeah, I can see tigers anytime I want.
Yeah, I don't think I know there was one time at like Six Flags they had like a circus there, but it wasn't like like a real circus.
Yeah.
And it's gone now. Now it's some like Justice League 3D ride where you get in and like, for whatever reason, I'm helping the Justice League where I'm like, yeah. And Martian Manhunter's right there. That you don't need my help.
Need
Green Lantern is there. How about instead of fucking giant mallets, he does something real. He uses his imagination.
That was Mother's Day, but today I also, as we record this, it's for all those white people out there, it's their Mother's Day. I posted a post on Instagram, which shout out to Scary Gary. I've told this story before. It's become an inside joke with our family. And for those who don't know Scary Gary is this person that lived in the town that Wes and I grew up in. We are like 90% sure that he murdered someone in the past, and it's not a joke. Like it is like, you know, all the facts are there. For some reason, it was a technicality or some shit that he got off. Lived with his like old man, lived with his mom until she died. Very Norman Bates situation going on. But I remember one time he wrote into the local paper for Mother's Day that every boy should sing "Wind Beneath My Wings" by Bette Midler to their mothers on Mother's Day. And it's just become a thing ever since then. Like, you know, I've sent flowers that had like, "Did you ever know that you're my hero" on it. And, you know, just one of those things.
Now, is she in on the joke or are you just?
Oh,
like,
she knows. Okay. Yeah, she remembers it because we were all like, you know, like she was. I think we even had like this story like on the fridge for a while at our house. Like, like, look how ridiculous this is. But yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's old Scary Gary.
Oh man, yeah, old Scary Gary. Yeah, I mean, yeah, I've listened to enough episodes of the Draft Pod where I've heard of Scary Gary, but yeah. You know,
we should flashlights under the face, like do like a Gary like storytelling in October with Wes, just have him. You know, like really go through everything.
It's revealed that Scary Gary is actually his like older brother.
Yeah.
Yeah. Terry's like, "I'm sorry." She's like, "That wasn't really his mother." She's like, "I had to put him up for adoption because me and Rick were just too young." And, you know, it's like, why? It's like, yeah, you and like, not even that. It's full on that episode of The Simpsons. It's like, Gary was your twin, Wes. Look, there's a fucking scar on, you know, you guys were conjoined twins. He was actually the good twin. You were the evil one. Yeah. And she's like, "Wait, your scar is on the wrong side. Oh, no." And then it just, you know, it explains so much of young Wes and why he is the way he is.
That's right.
I love you, Wes. Yeah, no, it's funny. You're mentioning like the art and stuff like that. There's a lot of museums here in Chicago. Literally, for the last like month, I've been wanting to go to a museum. Mm-hmm. But I've been busy fucking every weekend for the last month. So maybe next weekend. I don't know. But yeah, the art museum is one that I haven't gone to. Listen, I don't know if you can tell. A lot of the girls I did are always just like, "Yeah, I'm going to the art museum," because they're all fucking artsy and shit like that. And yeah.
Or they think they are.
They think they are. Yeah, they think that I'm like, "You think you're artsy? Come check out my place. I'll show you some fucking real art." Not just what you have one Hello Kitty fucking print. Not even in a frame. Just fucking thumbtacked to the wall. I'm like, check out how fucking meticulous. It might be ADHD. It might be fucking Asperger's. I don't know, but it's something. And I very much, you know, like I fancy myself an interior decorator. Thank you. But the art museum, the Chicago one, is just one that I haven't gone to. You know, and it's like, I don't know, Ferris Bueller and his friends went. I should probably go too, but I just haven't. There's a Museum of Mexican Contemporary Art that's really cool that I've gone to as well. Like, I don't know. I'll go to a museum next week. Next week you'll hear me talk about going to a museum. Yeah. But yeah, no, for Mother's Day, for American Mother's Day, not Mexican. For Mexican Mother's Day, I just forgot to tell most people. If I remember, like, I went up to my cousin and I was like, "Hey, happy Mexican Mother's Day." And then today I was like, "Hey, happy American Mother's Day." But Yeah, no, we went out to eat. I took my sister and my nephews. My oldest nephew and my mom. You know, we went to go get pizza at some fucking place. But my oldest nephew, he's like, I'm looking for a part time job, and that fucking
isn't it weird?
So weird. Even weirder than seeing Cash Allen prom pictures, where I'm just like, they let fucking eighth graders at prom. And it's like, no, he's a grown adult man now. I'm like, what do you mean? Is he going with a grown adult? Is that what you said? He's going with a grown adult man? Like, that's fucked up. Like, he's, you know, but what do you call it? He was talking about, like, he wants like a summer job. And that was the one thing where I was like, oh, that was like, that's so fucked up. Cause I remember being that age, you know, there's like a certain age where, my sister, she was like, he just spent, cause I was like, dude, I was like, I can fucking give you money all the time. I was like, what'd you do with all your money? But my sister was talking about how he's like, he's gotten into colognes, like his, you know, he's into like sports and shit. He's super into soccer. Like apparently he plays every Saturday. I was like, when's your next game? Because my sister was like, oh, but he had a game yesterday at 2. I was like, oh, I would have gone. When's his next one? She was like, next Saturday at 9. I was like, sorry. I was like, unless I'm podcasting with fucking John Cena, I'm not waking up at 9 on a Saturday. But yeah, you know, he's like an athlete and stuff like that. And I guess he's into like cologne, you know, I've never really gone through that cologne phase. The most was last year when I had like I started like right before I started like dating my ex-girlfriend. It was around Christmas time that I had purchased it. It was like Ulta had, it was a gift set of a bunch of like cologne samplers, but they're like a little bigger than just like your regular sampler. Yeah. And it came with a voucher to just buy a full size bottle. And I've gotten fucking a lot of use out of those. Like those are still, they're all still about like halfway. And I use cologne like if I'm going out and stuff like that, but I just don't overdo it. Cause fuck, we all know that guy who overdoes it, where like, even if it smells good, it's like, dude, come on. Fucking.
Dude, I'm afraid of that every day. Like I do. Hold on. 1, 2. 3, yeah. Four squirts on me. And I'm always like, is this too much?
Like, yeah, I'm the same way.
But then I watch, like, I'll watch videos. They're like, oh, yeah, like 10, 15 pumps. I'm like, what? That's insane.
Like, I was like, listen, I was in high school when fucking dudes would leave gym and instead of showering, just bathe in fucking Axe body spray. So I'm like, no thanks. But yeah, you know, it was funny to me. That's like, yeah, we all go through. Like, I remember again being that age, and it's just like, fuck, I need my own money, like to just not even, just for something, you know, for anything. Yeah. And so yeah, that was one of those. I was like, oh man, you're getting old, my guy. At which I told him, I'm probably not gonna have any work for you. I have no summer work for you, you know. Yeah. I was like, go work with my dad, you know, make piñatas. I was like, my fucking sister and I had to do it. My brother sometimes does it. I don't know. I don't know what that guy does with his free time. But I was like, yeah. And so, yeah, that'll be fun. But then, you know, as we were leaving, putting money together for the bill and stuff like that. My dad gives my nephew a dollar bill, the youngest one. And he's just like, oh, like you would have thought he gave him $100 bill with how he was like, fucking, and he's like rubbing it in his brother's face and stuff like that. And he's just like, oh, to my dad, he's like, can I get a dollar? And he's just like, oh, and I just gave it to him. And I was like, hey, pulled out a 20. I was like, here you go. Fuck this kid. And, you know, it was like one of those. I was like, oh, yeah. I was like, I got to fucking, I got to pull a big baller fucking uncle move. Yeah. You know, I was just like, here.
Yeah.
It was just, I was laughing. I was like, dude, I was like, dude, fuck him. Like, he just laughs. I was like, yeah, fuck him. I was like, I don't even really know him. I just met him like 5 years ago. I was like, I've known you longer. Mind you, I love him. I would kill for both of them. But I'm just like, yeah, fuck him. I was like, he has $1. I was like, here, you have 20. He's probably going to go spend it on fucking some expensive perfume now, though. But hey, whatever. You fucking spend, as long as you're spending it on drugs, I don't fucking care.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But hey, you know what I spent some fucking money on this week? What's a Cubs hat, dude? Listen, I'm kind of a fucking sports guy now.
Sporto over there.
Yeah. Oh, God. Old Wrigley.
El Sporto.
Yeah. Old Wrigley, dude. You know, I think I'm going to go visit every major MLB stadium. I've already got two. three, actually, because I was at the Padres stadium the one time.
Oh.
Yeah, where it was like me and Frank went down for like a, it was like a t-shirt convention thing. And they put us up, first off, they put us up in the Comic-Con hotel, which is right next to the fucking Padres stadium. And there was like an event there that night. And Frank and I just wandered around the Padres stadium. Like there was like some like tours that people were giving. Again, we just wandered off with the group and it was like, I don't know, like an hour and a half long tour. And the first part of it was like super boring. So we saw another group and just wandered off with them. We're just like in the locker room. And they're like, oh, like are you guys part of this group? We're like, yeah, sure. And they're like, all right, well, we're going to go into the fucking dugout and on the field and shit like that. Like we bypassed all like the boring shit and just went to like the cool part. And so, yeah, it's again, the one stadium other than Wrigley and fucking Comiskey. I don't even know what the fuck it is now. I say Comiskey as if I was there when it was Comiskey. It was US Cellular. But Comiskey is what the cool guys say.
Wait, is it not? No, it's God.
Guaranteed rate, I think.
Yeah, as they say, it's some mortgage or something like that.
Hey, we still call it Comiskey over here, pal.
That's right.
But yeah, it was one of my buddy past guest of the show, Jonathan Delgado. It was his birthday, and a bunch of the people were just, originally I couldn't because I had to record with Sino, but when that fell through, I was like, oh fuck yeah, I was like, I'll go. And again, I've been to a Cubs game before. Frank again took me to this game, and it was super cool because we sat like fifth row. I kept thinking the balls were gonna, they're gonna hit us. No, yeah, we're literally like right behind fucking home plate, so it was just like, oh my god, they're gonna hit us, they're going over our head. Yeah. It's a giant fucking net. We were fine. And again, it was a fine. I think they played like Milwaukee or something. Like it was just, I don't know, it was some shitty team where it was like bottom of the fifth and we were up by 11. It was 11 to nothing. And this wasn't even when the Cubs were like good. So it was just like 11 to nothing, and it was cold out, and we were just like, hey, should we call it a night? We're like, yeah. Like, if they could catch up by 11 points, by 12, God bless them. Like, you deserve to win. But, so yeah, it was fine. Again, I'm not really a sports guy. There's been things before, like, work where, you know, it'll be like, oh, hey, there's tickets to a Bulls game or a Bears game or something. And my thing is always like, hey, I'll go, but, like, ask the people that, like, these things, you know, because it's like if there was a fucking AEW's coming to town, sorry Birdo, we gave a ticket to your fucking coworker that doesn't even like wrestling, like I would feel some type of way. So that's why I was like, hey, if there's an extra ticket, I'll be more than happy, but like ask, you know, ask Juan, ask Mark, ask those guys, like I know that's their thing. But yeah, it was a bunch of us, you know, we're out in the bleachers and stuff like that, and ironically enough they were facing the Padres. And so, you know, again, just a bunch of us, we were there. Just a fun game, you know. And they had the guy who was singing fucking Take Me Out. Not National Anthem. He was singing that Take Me Out to the Ball Game or whatever. I forget the actor's name, but he comes on stage. Like, they're like, oh, fucking John Jacob Jingleheimer Schmidt, and I'm like staring at this guy. I was like, I fucking know him. Where do I know him from? He played the character of George Brevity in season 2 and 3 of The Leftovers. Like, he's the guy that works at the same company that Carrie Coon does, where he's like, where he does the test to see like if they're fucking lying about people that disappeared. Which again, to me, I was like, Padres, the only other team I really know. This guy is what, like, I know he's been in other things, but I was like, the one dude from The Leftovers is here. Things are looking up. And, again, we were up by one, and then, you know, it's 2-1 and we're like, fuck. And then they find, you know, they tie up, you know, so it's like, all right, fucking here's the 10th inning, and it starts to rain, and it's like, fuck. And so me thinking, I was like, I don't want to get sick, because I was already feeling like a little, So I was like, you know what, Drew, there is no way that on the first pitch on this inning, they're going to hit a home run. There's no way. Why would they? How would that happen? So as it starts to rain, I was like, oh, I'm going to go chill over here in like the little section, you know, behind the bleachers where, you know, they have their sell food and shit by the concession. Mm. And so I go, I literally walk out and you hear an eruption. Like, ah, everyone's going crazy. I'm like, oh shit, there's a fight. So I fucking run back there. Dude.
The fight?
In my mind, I'm like, oh, there has to be a fight. I mean, a lot of the people I was with were a little, they were a little buzzy-wuzzy, you know? So I run over there and home run on the first pitch, right in our section. Like it was literally me, Paul, Mark, and then two strangers, and the ball went right over Mark behind him, and like the dude that was also sitting next to like some of our friends, he fucking caught it because it was just like holy shit, like it went right in our section. So I was so fucking angry that I missed the home ball run right in our section. But again, it was just a fun fucking thing regardless. And I think I want to start going to some more like baseball games, you know.
Hell
like,
yeah, dude.
Again, it was a fun fucking fun experience.
That was kind of the reason like I did that scene again. Like we're practically tied. I would say I was at 3.5 stadiums because the one is not it's not an active stadium anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, I've only been to 3 now too, with the, you know, Detroit, St. Louis, and Tampa. So yeah, next time, I mean, when I'm up there in October, oh shit, that's probably too late to go to a Cubs game. But yeah,
you and
they're not making it into October baseball. Let me tell you that much.
They might. I know the Sox aren't. I'm not even a fucking baseball fan. I know the Sox aren't, but maybe
I said it to my brother. It was like how the Sox could be the worst team ever to like ever in baseball. They, like at that time, there was a stat that it was like they had hosted the Reds for like a 3-game series, right? The Reds scored 27 on them. At that point, and this is like a month into the season. The Reds had scored more at guaranteed rate field than the White Sox did all year.
Jesus.
they're not good.
Yeah, I mean, again, a friend of the show, Matt Nix, marvelous Matt Nix. When I can tell when the Sox are playing, during the day, when he's wearing headphones and swearing over in his area, like it'll just be quite easier. Fuck, god damn it, what the fuck. I'm like, oh yeah, the Sox are losing. Like it's just that, like it's that is usually, you know, same thing with the Bears. But yeah, no, it's fun. Again, it's definitely one of those we'll have to, or maybe I'll come down there and we can watch a
Rays game.
Rays. Oh, I don't support fucking those things after what they did to Steve Irwin.
Why? Fucker got his justice. Much like if you see a fucking ape riding a horse, don't fuck with a stingray in the water. Just saying. Respect their authority.
All right, guys, that's been this week's episode. it's fine. You know.
That's why I watched that movie, like that fucking movie Blackfish, and I was just like, yeah, like, of course, like, don't fuck with them. Like, they're called killer whales. There's a reason they're called killer whales.
Yeah, they're assholes, dude. Hey, speaking of, you know what movie I saw that you also saw?
Yes.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Now, don't worry, you guys. We're not going to get into fucking spoiler territory. But
listen, last week we had a mini preview of Scrubbinger's Music Box. This week we're gonna get into
the movie. Opens up 300. No, yeah. yeah, no. It was really fucking. It was a really fun fucking movie, dude. Like yeah. We talked about it before. I mean, we recently just redid the last trilogy, which is a solid fucking trilogy. Like it's a lot more people now are starting to recognize that and acknowledge it. There's been memes this weekend on Twitter. There's this parody account that puts Paddington Bear into every movie. They like Photoshop Paddington Bear into every movie. And so they've now been doing that, but with Koba. Like, people have just been photo, like, not that specific account, but people have been photoshopping Koba and like into like Blade Runner 2049, La La Land, like just all these random fucking movies, you know, they're photoshopping him into, and which is just fucking awesome, because Koba is a fucking, you know, he's one of the standouts of those movies.
Yeah.
The one thing that I saw is what is it, the Bad Ape? No, mm-hmm. I'm a Bad Ape. The who's voiced by
Steve Zahn. Yeah,
I want a whole trilogy with that guy. Like, it was just one of those people. Again, people were just like, "Hey, low key." I was like, "Not low key. He is my favorite character in all of these movies so far." Like, he has just been, he's just like, "No, well, come on, guy." Like, it's just Steve Zahn. It essentially is what it is. But again, without any spoilers, like, how did you feel this one did compared to, especially to the other three, considering we just talked about them?
I think it held up pretty well. And again, I think it's a good start off for a new, you know, what's to be a new trilogy. I don't think it's a spoiler. I think, but like, if I can just say that, like, man, Frank Gallagher is the ultimate fucking cockroach of a survivalist, man. Like, when he showed up on screen, that's all I thought of was fucking Frank Gallagher. He lives through everything.
Yeah, I was like, I don't know if they like had advertised him or not, but when William H. Macy comes on, dude, it was, oh god, what, like, how can I compare it? It was like those Marvel movies early on, when they would be like, it specifically, I remember in the Winter.
Like, when you see, I was gonna say, like, when you saw like Lou Ferrigno or something, like,
it's like a funny, not even that. Like, I remember specifically in the Winter Soldier, when he's like, oh yeah, you know, he's like, this Hydra satellite, it's supposed to aim for potential future threats. There's this person, there's that person, there's Dr. Stephen Strange, and I was like, did they just fucking say Dr. Stephen Strange? Let's fucking go. That was the same thing. William H. Macy showed up. Again, just a fun fucking movie. And like I mentioned to you, this is part four of what they plan on doing, a full 9 series movies. And again, this movie, by all accounts, it's been like 7-8 years since the last one came out, and opening weekend it's crushed. Like, it's done essentially, if not more than what all the other openings were. Like, they've always been successful movies.
Yeah.
You know, they haven't been your Harry Potters or your Avatars in terms of franchise movies that open up fucking ridiculous, but they've done good enough to where they're like, yeah, let's keep doing it. And the one thing to me is just how far along they've come. Again, we just did those last three, and they never looked bad. Like, they always looked good.
Yeah.
Obviously, the latter movies look better. This one, dude, there's just sequences where I'm just staring at them and I'm like, what the like, this is insane. Like, this, there's no uncanny valley-ness to it. There is no, oh, clearly that's no, like, it, you know, the fact that this is the level of dedication that they put into making this look legit, because you see some movies where it's just bad CG. You know, if you watch that first Pirates of the Caribbean movie, fucking, what's his name? Davy Jones, the Captain Barbosa, when he's all fucking squid and shit like that. Amazing fucking CG. And the thing with that is, like, I always see it where people are like, this came out in 2000. Like, how does it, or 2004, how does CG look worse now? Well, because they saw, like, oh, we can make it look like this if we spend this much. But if we cut corners, like, people won't really notice. And yes, people will definitely notice. But
or like sometimes shit gets a little too, and that's my problem with especially Attack of the Clones, is that it's just too much. It just looks like you're watching a video game. Like, it's just like when everything is, but like with this, like, I don't know if they just made it a little darker, so it's a little bit, you know, hidden, if there is that, but like, because there, I mean, obviously there's a lot of CGI, but I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of the practicality of it is a lot more, because you know, these are stand-in actors that are, you know, they're mo-capping, where it's not just like fully created. You know, it's just like, oh, just look over there, and then there's gonna be people. We'll put them in later.
Yeah, no, it's they're there.
Yeah. So I don't know, like I again though, I like we're gonna talk about, you know, in a couple weeks on the family video about a movie that was made in the 80s that I was like, you know, I can't believe this was made in the 80s because there's still movies that don't look this good. When it comes to you know, effects and everything like that. So but yeah, man, this movie is I just can't wait. Like, I'm so excited. I was literally like about to just like sneak into another showing. Like, I was just ready to like watch it again.
We talked a little bit about this, but like, do you think they will get to? Do you think it's maybe a little ambitious to just go ahead and announce like, oh, we're gonna do it? Because again, if this is four, we're gonna do five more of these. Like, do you think they'll get there?
I think they can. I mean, I think there's enough, because again, you just, all right, we talked about this, but like, you have, if you kept the same timeline, you have 2,000 years. Well, mm-hmm. This was what, only 300 years?
Yeah.
Yeah, so like, you know, there's quite a bit of ways to build civilization. I think you, like you could, there's still plenty of time jumps, but yeah, like we kind of talked about right off mic, like the characters that are in this one though, I kind of want to see more out of, you know, like just because it's like, it would be hard to like every movie jump 300 years or whatever it is. Cause you kind of want that, like, you know, you want to like engage with these characters more than just the 90 minutes that you get. So it would be hard to like introduce a whole nother round of characters the next time around and for you to care about them. But I guess you could with the tribe, like the Eagle tribe or whatever the hell they were mm-hmm. called. You know, at least you know like what they're about. Hmm.
I am also over the human stories of this. Like, listen,
yeah,
check back in 2,000 years. Then we can pick up the human story of this. Like, I don't care. Apes.
Yeah.
I just, more apes. It's like all these, you know, they keep making these like Godzilla and Kong movies. And I'm just like, I don't care about the humans. I just want to see them, you know, which mm-hmm. I mean, I say that, but like, I actually, like, I enjoyed the Monarch TV show, which is Monarch, the, you know, the company that hunts down these kaijus mm-hmm. and the show. Spoiler alert, like it ends with like they're on Skull Island where Kong is, and they have like they've set up a new facility, and it's like, oh fuck yeah, these people just got back from Hollow Earth, like there's some shit going on. None of these people, and Kurt Russell's nowhere near the fucking Godzilla versus Kong movie. And I'm like, so then why the fuck did you put, you know, it's like that fucking meme from Uncut Gems where it's like, why did you show it to me if I can't have it? You know, that's what I want to see. I want to see fucking Kurt Russell versus Kong versus Godzilla. Like,
oh, you know, season two. You just still see it, just not in that universe. Yeah, man. I don't know. I think this is a ramping up for some good stuff. So, but yeah, the humans. Yeah. I've always like, ever since the first one, it's like, yeah, fuck you, them humans.
the way that Caesar has become this messianic figure to all these people, I hope there's like a subsect, like very much the way there's different religions here. I very mm-hmm. much, I'm praying that there is a, I'm praying that there's a bunch of people that unironically worship Bad Ape. Just to get Steve Zahn some more work, you know. He's like, I'm a descendant of Bad Ape.
Yeah, I don't know, maybe. You know, it's like I guess, you know, they have the people that follow, you know, I'm sure there's people that there's probably some religious sect out there that are just like, yeah, Peter was the best apostle or whatever, you know, Bad Ape was the best of his crew. No, I like Maurice better, you know. Yeah, I don't know. You kind of saw that with this one though, with I wish I could remember the old man's name, but like the baboon, mm-hmm. You know, he was very much of that like peace loving, like, you know, like we talked about it, like where he's talking, when he tells about Caesar, he just tells about how, you know, he was, you know, ape, no hurt ape. And, you know,
he's like, hey, he cared about humans for whatever reason we don't understand, but I guess we have to also. Yeah. I mean,
he was just like, you know, it's the same thing. Like, and then you have, what's it,
Proximus.
Proximus, yeah. Who is very, like, you know, like, I don't know, I guess you would call it, like, more of the militants, you know, like, the crusader types that are like, yeah, like, we're also Caesar for doing this for Caesar. Like, let's not throw that name around so much, huh?
Listen, they're doing long-term storytelling with that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Much like, friend of the show, Kenny Omega. Because for those unaware, he's been doing a lot of these Twitch streams where he just he just reveals a bunch of shit and talks a bunch of shit. Like, I love it. Like, it's one of those, like, he, you know, just does whatever he wants. And so there was two things that on his last one he recently said. One, of course, was that this was his last Twitch stream for a while, as he is, in fact, going to go get surgery for his diverticulitis. You know, it was one of those things where they sort of waited, because I guess his surgeon was like, well, you might not have to get surgery, but I mean, clearly he's good enough to be taking to be doing physical contact. And so, yeah, he talked about he's going away and all that. Another thing that he talked about, though, was motherfucking Will Ospreay. Mm-hmm. And now, if you know anything, again, they had two of the best matches ever, you know, like these two can fucking wrestle each other. You know, I was there for the Forbidden fucking Door one, and it was so good. It was so good that I just could not get into Okada Danielson one. Like, yeah. I was just like, I'm pretty sure both Vivian and I would have been perfectly fine leaving just after that was done. Like, I vividly remember texting fucking my girlfriend at the time, and she's like, how's the show? And I was like, I just saw probably the best wrestling match I'm ever going to see. And I'm just waiting at this point. Like, I know she wants to see fucking, I was like, I know Vivian wants to watch the next match, so it's fine. I was like, and I'm trying to get into it, but like, I need a cigarette after this. I don't even smoke, you know, like, holy shit. Like, this is just insane. But on his Twitch stream, he had a few things to say about old young Bill Ospreay. He said it's farcical that Will calls himself the King of Japan when Kenny has had the better matches with Okada, Ibushi, Naito, Yoshihashi, and more. Kenny said he sold more merch and tickets than Will, and while the 500 people that showed up to Corey Hall might like Will, Kenny would sell it out, and they loved him. And New Japan was thriving as a business with Kenny as the top gaijin. Kenny says Ospreay wants to wrestle in Uganda because Japanese fans have already forgotten about him. And Ospreay will be the king of Uganda wrestling, and he will be the king of Uganda wrestling until Kenny decides to go over there and run that too. Listen, I don't know how much of this is Kenny talking shit. I don't know how much of this is, again, Kenny clearly building towards that third match. As you know, Kenny, like, listen, and we'll get into it, because clearly, you know, there's the AEW Civil War that is about to start, or already started, depending last year, you know, depending on where you've been since All Out 2020 or 2022 might have already happened. But, you know, clearly he's been setting up. They've already laid the seeds for a match with Jungle Boy, for a match with the Young Bucks, for a match with Okada. Okada clearly being like, we have not seen Kenny versus Okada in 5, maybe 6 years at this point. And I don't know if you know this, but those matches, you know, they got a nice star rating or two or seven. and so, yeah, like, again, Kenny's just always been one of those consistent dudes. So he's clearly laying the groundwork for those, clearly laying the groundwork for Ospreay. If I had it my way, because, you know, in all this, it's like the one thing people keep forgetting about was, you know, the Elite fired Kenny Omega, They also got rid of or fired from the Elite Hangman Adam Page. One of my favorite wrestling matches ever is Young Bucks versus Hangman and Kenny at the first Revolution, I believe Revolution 2020. And again, one of my favorite fucking matches, like awesome storytelling, awesome tag team match. There's, you know, it's weird watching it back now because at one point Hangman does some Marty Skrull spots and it gets the biggest reaction of the match, you know, like he full on just fucking starts doing his moves and puts him in a chicken wing. Mind you guys, this was right before fucking like Me Too, like literally this is right before COVID. This is right before all that. So like, that is why, like, again, you know, just like rewatching it and it's just like, oh, but like, again, if all things go well with Kenny and he gets better, like I definitely think that's a match that, you know, we can see down the line again. Fucking Kenny and the Young Bucks, or Kenny and Hangman versus the Young Bucks. Like, it's just, again, it'll probably be a minute unless Kenny is just fucking kayfabing all of us. And he's like, no, I'm fucking ready to go, dude. I'm going to show up at Double or Nothing. Cause, again, at Double or Nothing, they announced Anarchy in the Arena. You're going to have the Elite again in Okada, Jungle Boy and the Bucks versus FTR, Eddie Kingston, and Bryan Danielson. Thoughts, Drew, on this fucking, which Anarchy in the Arena, usually the culmination, but it feels like it's just, you know, it's the start of the kickoff to this civil war that's been going on these last few weeks.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's, you know, somewhat what we're expecting, I guess. Again, all building to that, you know, CM Punk match it all in. So, you know, we're on the right path, I guess. Yeah, I mean, I guess, you know, it seems like they, you know, this is the storyline. They're, you know, the kind of like an NWO-ish type, you know, kind of NWO meets the Authority, I guess. I don't know. Where, you know, everybody's in charge and nobody's in charge kind of thing. So I don't know. I think it'll be good. I mean, this, you know, it's a lot of good people, man. I just, I don't know. It's still the big bad isn't even in the company. So I don't know where it's going.
Well, Eddie Kingston may or may not have been injured this weekend at the New Japan Strong Show. He lost the, New Japan Strong title to Gabe Kidd. And after the, and it was like a really fucking weird, I don't want to say dumb because I'm not a wrestler anymore, but just like a really funny, it was just a spot. You can see the video. It's basically he takes a suplex through a table on the side of the ring, but there's not enough space in his leg, like the back of his legs like hit the fucking rail pretty hard. So I don't know, again, it looked pretty intense, but I'm retired now, so I can't really, you know, say anything about that. And afterwards, the Young Bucks and Jack Perry, they come out and they beat him down and stuff like that. And I guess, you know, like Sean Ross Apple's like, yeah, no, he was legit pretty banged up. So listen, if there's an open spot, fucking, you know, old Uncle Phil reunite CMFTR. Okay. Adam Copeland, you know, speaking of Double or Nothing, Adam Copeland challenged Malakai Black to a barbed wire cage match after having a fucking banger of a match with Brody King. Like, you know, I've been singing the praises of Brody forever. I love him as a wrestler.
You're a fan?
Yeah. I've never mentioned being a fan of Brody King. But they had a fucking awesome match together. And like afterwards, it's, you know, the challenge came out and stuff like that. So, I mean, weird that it's going to that. I think it maybe someone doesn't want to lose. So they're going with a barbed wire cage match. Adam Copeland has been on a fucking hell of a run. Like, you know, he's always been that dude. And he's very much taking the role of like a Moxley and Danielson and like, hey, let's get some of these fucking young dudes over. you know, like those three in particular, even Punk when he was there, are four dudes who, you know, there were some main eventers who said, no, you're younger and better looking and better in the ring and more popular than me, but I'm married to the boss's wife or the boss's daughter. So I'm going to tell him, no, keep them on SmackDown. Keep the losers on SmackDown. I need to cut a 30-minute promo. Just some people, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's been fucking awesome again to seeing him. Like, he just had, I haven't watched it back yet, but like a match with Kyle O'Reilly that people were like, holy shit. Like, they're like, Kyle O'Reilly is fucking back. And even teased a little bit going to the dark side, you know. And I won't pass judgment on what a dark side edge could do. But yeah, like, you know, just interested to see. Like, I kind of hope he doesn't drop the title to Malachi. It's like, to me, it's like, keep it going. But one of the things that I saw going around was like, it was just like, it was someone like, obviously fantasy booking and stuff like that. They're like, well, yeah, they're like, have him fucking retain, you know, over Malachi, have him drop the belt to Jungle Boy. And, you know, from there, work your way to At All In, the Young Bucks versus Edge and Christian. Because as awesome as Christian is as right now as a heel, it's going to be the same thing with like Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns was the biggest heel for the past 5 years.
Yeah.
And all you hear about at these shows nowadays is people chanting, we want Roman, we want Roman. So that babyface Roman, they're finally going to get that babyface Roman run that they always wanted. And again, yeah. Christian is like the heel, you know? Mm-hmm. Fucking better not tell that guy you have a dead fucking relative, because he is gonna, you know, he's gonna bring that shit up. But I don't know. Would you be interested in, you know, 2025, whatever the fuck, or, you know, whenever we get it, Edge and Christian versus the Young Bucks?
Absolutely. I mean, that's something like, you know, I've wanted for fucking 10 years. Like, you know, since Edge was able to wrestle again, you know what I mean? It was like, well, hopefully this will one day happen.
Mm-hmm.
But I do want to, like, this Malachi match, Malachi Black match has me fucking excited, dude. Like, this is something I definitely want to see. Like, Edge, Copeland is so fucking good. Like, you know, he's finally getting all, you know, to do what he wanted to do with that last run. You know, I mean, he did have the greatest wrestling match of all time with Randy Orton. So,
of course,
there was that. But yeah, man, like Malachi Black again, like, you know, we sing the praises of House of Black all the time. And like, he's at the head of it. And he is just like, again, was, you know, that one of those weird, like, you could tell this was like a Triple H thing. Like, he fucking love, you know, that was like, oh yeah, you're basically taking over what I did. Mm-hmm. Spikes and shit, cool. And then like his dad's like, no, get this fucking little twerp out of here. And then it was just like, okay, but like, you know, there was so much money to be made with, you know, Malachi Black, and now you see, like, absolutely there is. Like, these guys are fucking crushing it in this stable of, you know, like, just three fucking workhorses, and, you know, or with Julia too, but like, because she's really coming to her own also. And like, but, you know, Malachi is just, he's just always been on another level. And it's finally, like, to me, it's good. And I think Copeland sees it as this way too, of like, no, I need to, he does the thing that he's doing, the thing that like Jericho is always claims, you know, like, no, I'm going to raise these guys up by getting in a ring with them. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And that's where I think this match is just going to be excellent. But yeah, future state, hell yeah. I mean, that's the dream match. I mean, everybody wants is, you know, Edge and Christian. I mean, more than the Hardys versus the Bucks, to me, like, Edge and Christian are like, to me, they're the better tag team than the Hardys ever were. So, and I don't know if that's just a, you know, a generation thing. I mean, because I was kind of there for most of the Hardys run too, but like
they wrestle the Hardys. They wrestle them at, I know specifically it was like that Ring of Honor show right before the Hardys went to WWE.
Yeah,
it was like the ladder war. And then they've wrestled. I think they've also wrestled, the Dudleys.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I'm not too like, you know, but to me, Edge and Christian are the, you know, going down in history is one of the, you know, the one of the best tag teams of all time. And I mean, Young Bucks are right there as much as, you know, they're who they are. You know, empty headed, dumb fucks, but whatever.
Listen, they can't manage a target, but I can imagine that they'll manage to get a pretty good fucking match.
Yeah,
exactly. out of those two.
And we're still seeing, and again, like we're still seeing Edge and Adam Copeland and Christian. I'm trying to break that habit. But like, it's like those two are. They're performing on a level that it's fucking like they don't seem their age. And like, you know, Christian has always gotten that, like where he's like, people have always for 20 years, like 30 years, like this guy's one of the best wrestlers in the world. It was always just like, you know, he was kind of like the little brother to Adam Copeland. And like, so like, it, he always kind of got that moniker, but like everybody that worked with him loved him, and everybody's, oh, my best matches have always been with Christian.
Yeah.
Like, and he's still doing that.
Yeah.
And like at a high level. So to go in there with the Bucks, yeah, absolutely. Like, this is, you know, it's not like fucking, you know, the Hardys right now where you're like, oh, one can barely walk and the other one's, you know, you never know which one you're gonna get. Like, you're going to get a solid fucking match out of these guys. Pending no injury over the next year or whatever.
Yes, yeah. Another match that was announced, not for Double or Nothing, but was for the King of the Ring show at Saudi Arabia. You have Cody defending versus the WWE title against Logan Paul, which is a bummer considering you've had 2 years now to build up credible heel challengers for fucking Cody Rhodes. They should be lining up, you know? And
I don't think it's that. I think it's just the if you look, I mean, Logan Paul always gets this big, like, you know, even against Roman last year, like, to me, that's all it is it's what they do for that one is just what the guy, you know, like whatever they, you know, like is the biggest money match that they, you know, from an outsider's thing. So I don't even think it's like, not because there's other challengers. But they put him in there because it's just they don't, that one is pure box office. That's all it is. It has nothing to do with anything else. That's just who can we get the most money with, and that's who we're gonna go with. And I think there's other people with more storyline reasons, but all they care about is names over there. So I don't even, like, to me, like, these shows aren't WWE canon. Like, they're just not, like, they're just like they pop up and like I never watch them. I don't care to watch them. You know, I'm not one that will like unsubscribe to the network when all that shit went down, but I don't watch those shows because of that. Like, one, it's like they're always like they put up like people that, like, you know, it's just like, well, these people with no storylines are all of a sudden like the biggest names because they're, you know, was it the Mansoors of the world that were, you know, it's like you're just doing this for the local like thing, and it's not really like you've given no credibility to them before or after or anything like that. It's just like it happens in their own. It's a fucking glorified house show, and that's all it is.
I'm just hoping post this show, let's do something with Cody where the fucking story isn't, I knew your dad, or I'm tangentially related to the bloodline, you know? But like I mentioned, we do have the King of the Ring tournament going on. In the first round, Gunther defeated Sheamus. Ilya Dragunov defeated Ricochet. Jey Uso defeated Finn Balor. There is a still to happen Kofi Kingston versus Rey Mysterio match where I'm assuming Rey Mysterio will come out on top. Randy Orton defeated AJ Styles. Tama Tonga defeated Angelo Dawkins. Carmelo Hayes defeated Baron Corbin. And LA Knight defeated Santos Escobar, which means the second round bracket of that will be Gunther versus the winner of Kofi versus Rey, which I think the better match will be Gunther versus Rey, but I also know that one of the storylines going into this was Kofi having to step in for Xavier Woods. So it might also be Xavier just to further that storyline. You got Jey Uso versus Ilya Dragunov, who Ilya Dragunov, big fucking fan of that guy. I remember Ilya Dragunov versus Gunther is rematch because, you know, Ilya and Walter had a fucking banger of a fucking match.
Yes.
NXT UK lore, like that's his rival. Like he was the one that dethroned Gunther after 37 years of holding the,
exactly.
the NXT UK title and shit like that. And also Jey Uso is just not good. There was a thing going on this weekend where everyone was like, why hasn't he been world champ yet? And it's like, well, because once the bell rings, everything special about Jey Uso is just goes out the window, you know? Like it's one of those, like he looks the part, talks the part, but you know,
yeah,
you need a there's you know,
I know he basically, I mean, it's, you know, like it's always the thing of like the WWE style is that five moves of doom, right? And like he doesn't even have, like, it's like a super kick and a splash, and other than that I can't name you a thing that Uso does, either one.
Yeah, so I'm hoping that he doesn't fucking beat Ilya, because again, Ilya, he's just coming off of having dropped the NXT title, and he had that banger of a match with Ricochet. Like, let him go, let him put him over Jey Uso.
Yeah.
Jey Uso versus Gunther, it's not.
Uso will stay hot, and like Dragunov needs, like, you know, like you're bringing him up. You need to show how that he's who he is. And this guy, and like, honestly, credibility wise, like, he's the one that kind of like, he was the one who, like, you know, brought your street cred to NXT for the last 2 years. Like, you know, it's this weird cartoon show you have down there. Like, at the center of it was him. Like, no. Like, that other shit might be fucking goofy, but my matches are fucking real, you know?
The other matches, of course, being Tama Tonga versus LA Knight and Carmelo Hayes versus Randy. I'm hoping, this all just leads to Gunther versus Randy. Mm-hmm. And have Gunther fucking go over Randy to establish him, because Randy is, he's one of these dudes who just keeps getting better with age.
Yeah.
You know, the same way people talk about Christian, people talk about Randy. Yeah. Like Bret Hart is like, that's probably the closest modern day equivalent of myself. And I fully expect Gunther to be the next WWE champion. That's what everything's been leading to, and as he should be. Like, he should be your next fucking dominant heel champion. There's no rush. Like, give Cody, you know, Gunther's on Raw, so it's like, right? Yeah, Gunther's on Raw.
Yeah,
get that fucking belt off fucking Damian.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that's what you're leading to is, you know, you're giving this, you know, to me it's Gunther's, you know, it's his King of the Ring to lose, which will hopefully propel him. I mean, which will propel him, especially with a show in Germany coming up. Like, he's not Austria. German, but he's.
I think the show is in Austria.
Oh, I thought it was in Germany, but.
Oh, it might be. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's one of those access of powers fucking country.
Yeah. Yeah. He's from Austria, but like, you know, you know, obviously anytime he goes to Europe, it's a big fucking deal anywhere in Europe, and he's going to be the hometown favorite, and it's gonna be like that should be his crowning moment. Yeah, get it up. I mean, I like Priest. I don't know, like, it's just they haven't done. And it's still early in his reign too, but like they haven't done enough to make me care about it. Like giving him some credible people, like the focus is obviously on Cody, and it just feels like a secondary title where I think Walter or Gunther getting this would put it on par with Cody's title.
Listen, it's like I've said with another world champion. You're either Chris Benoit or you're Eddie Guerrero. And, you know, Cody's been on his Eddie Guerrero run. Meanwhile, fucking, you know, someone else is facing Jey Uso. So one of these champs just got a 5-star match with AJ Styles. The other one faced Jey Uso, who was in a match so bad at WrestleMania was not even star rated. You know, yeah. So it's like there's no reason why he shouldn't. He fucking looks good, works good, has all the tools. You just need the proper booking
and talking. Like his promos have been excellent. Yep. Like I don't know. He's becoming the whole he's their Joe right now is what he is.
Yeah. That guy should be. Yeah. It's like if pushed right, Damian Priest versus Gunther, two fucking big boys. Let these big motherfuckers kill each other at WrestleMania. And you know,
By the way, dude, speaking of that, that Sheamus, Sheamus got the shit beat, which is cool. Like Sheamus has always said that because he's always like, you know, everybody's been always said that he works stiff and everything like that. But like, he also enjoys the pain, I guess, you know? So it's like to give it back, like he probably fucking loved it. It was like, no, like he wants his matches to look real. And it fucking looked like it hurt.
I mean, it's like Jericho in his book. You know, talked about like whenever he'd wrestle Benoit and Eddie, and they're just like, you're gonna fucking hit me. You know, we're gonna make this look as fucking tight and real and crisp as can be. Like they're not actually hitting each other, but when you have, you know, when you have that dance partner that you can work with, you know, like there's just magic. You look at
it's snug.
Yeah, I mean, Stone Cold. You know, look at like a Joe and Punk. You know. Mm-hmm. 20 years after they fucking had almost 20 years after they had, you know, like banger after banger as kids, you know, it's like, they're still, because again, there's just some of those opponents where it just works, you know, Shawn versus Taker worked in the Attitude Era the same way it worked when they were both, you know, old cowboys ready to fucking, you know, hang up the boots, until the Saudi Arabia money came in. And then, Drew, what do you guys got going on this week over at the Draft Pod?
So it's a little bit of deja vu because we had to pull a last minute cancellation. But so this week will be our Trilogies draft with Alexis Kraft.
Hell yeah.
Fingers crossed. But yeah, we're right now we're all good to go with that. We did. So if those who didn't already listen last week, we did have to pull a little switcheroo and, you know, we had some fun. So, but yeah, this week will definitely be the Trilogies. Come hell or high water, my friend.
Well, hey, if you want to listen to some more of me and Drew, again, this Thursday we'll be dropping volume 38 of Scrump and Drew's Music Box. Again, where we're talking Crisscross, Queen, Young Miko, Cigarettes After Sex, Enter Shikari, Silk Sonic, Chuck Berry, Maylene and the Sons of Disaster, and plenty more. As well as if you are a member of the Patreon, this Friday we'll be dropping myself and John Zeno talking the Lego Movie. And again, as low as $5 to sign up, you know, it's the month of anime. So far we've done Howl's Moving Castle, Coraline, and then, you know, to round out the rest of the month, we got Pokemon the First Movie, as well as Who Framed Roger Rabbit. Just a fun month of, you know, some cool animated movies. There's no shortage of, you know, awesome animated movies. So it was really fun to sort of do that. What's even more fun though is to do that with some of the members of the Patreon, as you know, some of these have been recorded with the members of the Patreon. I'm of course, you know, the wonderful friends of the show, much like Clifford Frazier, Jesse Kohlenberg, Joshua Davis, Neil Flanagan, Jonathan Mayer, who did go to Wally's. I don't know if I mentioned it or not. Jonathan Mayer, I might have talked about it last week. He did go to Wally's without me, but it's fine. He went with his lovely wife. But next time.
Unacceptable.
Yeah, unacceptable. Hot Topic Joe, Ryan Crossley, Vivian Urbina. I don't know why I stopped there. My Godfather Jesus.
Shout out Jesus.
Yeah, Vivian Urbina. Shut up, Vivian. Steve Feese. Little Caesar, Lucy Salgado, who happy Mother's Day, Lucy. Lupe Dominguez, the Kings of Sport podcast, Darren Kissler, Steve Grossweed, Chris Parkhurst, and Rigo Fuentes. Fun episode, and yeah, looking forward to drop all this fun Patreon content that we've been recording. Yeah. So until next week, you guys, for the PWT cast, I've been Scromp.
I've been Drew.
And this is friend of the show and certified hater, Kenny Omega.
Kenny Omega here, friend of the show. We've run out of things to say here at the PWT cast, and so I must bid you adieu. Goodbye and good night. Bang, bang.